WKOIN in Portland.
CBS News. Vice President Gerald Ford warned Republicans Monday night if Democratic predictions of sweeping victories in November come true, Congress would be able to run roughshod over the president. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Ford made his comments at a Republican dinner in Boston. It was his second appearance of the day. Phil Jones reports.
Vice President Ford said again that he feels President Nixon was not connected with Watergate. However, Ford seemed to couch his words by adding very quickly, but time will tell. The vice president told a group of Harvard students that he feels it is important for him to have a high degree of loyalty to the president, but he said, if I do have differences with the president, I will speak out publicly. And at a news conference, Ford indicated he expects the House impeachment decisions to be made by the end of May.
I hope that the House Committee on Judiciary will vote the impeachment if they do, or I hope they'll take whatever action they do by the end of April. And if they do, I would hope that the House itself would act very shortly thereafter. Certainly by the end of May, we ought to know what the House is going to do one way or another.
Ford was asked today if President Nixon is preparing him to become president. Ford's response, I have done some things on my own in case something unfortunate would happen. Bill Jones, CBS News, with the vice president in Boston.
A senior White House official, Counselor Bryce Harlow, Monday night accused Representative Wilbur Mills, one of the most powerful members of Congress, of using McCarthy-like smear tactics and insinuating errors in President Nixon's tax returns. Mills suggested at a news conference pressure on President Nixon to resign would intensify when a joint congressional committee issued its reports on various aspects of the president's tax returns. More in a minute.
Sun is shining, things are growing, things are going well with you and me.
A future planned together, a rich full life together, and things look bright as they can be. We're helping 40 million people, 40 million people.
Future will be here in a moment. Don't let it take you by surprise. At Metropolitan Life, we've spent over a century helping people prepare for the future. And Metropolitan can do the same for you.
At Metropolitan Life, we help to plan your future, because the future is now.
The coal miner strike continues in West Virginia, and layoffs and threats of layoffs increased in the nation's steel industry as a result. U.S. Steel has already laid off 650 men and warns that as many as 30,000 of its employees may be out of work by the end of the week if the strike continues. The coal miners are protesting what they say is a lack of gasoline in West Virginia and the state mandated restricting buying at the pumps. Another day of food distribution by the Hearst family in California has been canceled for Tuesday. Randolph Hearst says the program will be revised to more closely meet the kidnappers' demands. In the latest tape, the SLA charged the FBI with pursuing the case too aggressively and setting Ms. Hearst up for an execution. FBI Director Clarence Kelly said Monday night his agents had done nothing to jeopardize the safety of Patricia Hearst. The father was asked what he thought of the latest tape from his daughter and the SLA.
I can't tell what her conversations have been, and I don't know what kind of pressure she's under, and it's inconceivable that perhaps she really believes that the FBI...
Do you?
Of course not. I think anybody thinks the FBI is a big planned plot to go in and kill Patricia... It's just, to me, inconceivable that anybody would think that.
Randolph Hearst. Montana Governor Thomas Judge signed into law Monday night a bill providing the death penalty for kidnappers who murder their captives. The penalty is death by hanging. More in a moment.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems?
The Better Business Bureau knows.
I saw this ad offering jobs to truck drivers. And what they were really selling was a training course that could cost me $900. Do these schools guarantee a job when you're through with the course?
Reputable schools do not claim to guarantee jobs to all graduates.
Who are you?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. And before you make a down payment on a training school contract, get the facts. Any contract you sign will probably make you pay for the course without getting you a job.
Thanks for the tip, buddy.
Not at all. That's what Better Business Bureaus are for. To help people get a fair deal.
Mrs. Richard Nixon is in Caracas, Venezuela tonight, starting a 6-day goodwill mission to South America. She will attend the inauguration of the new president of Venezuela Tuesday. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
This is Radio 97 News Headlines. Attorney General Lee Johnson has urged Governor McCall to veto the revised Real Estate Consumer Protection Bill, saying the old subdivision law offers greater protection to land buyers. Senator Mark Hatfield says he will introduce a bill in Congress tomorrow that would add 592,000 acres to wilderness areas in Oregon and Washington. State officials, the Navy and executives of the Boeing Company, are working to resolve differences over how the Boardman bombing range will be divided when the Navy leaves in 5 years. The power supply chief for Bonneville Power Administration says this year's runoff will be great enough to meet power demands at least until late summer. And the veterans of foreign wars have started a petition drive to place a measure on the November ballot authorizing bonuses for Oregon veterans of the Korean and Vietnam Wars. The Portland-Vancouver weather, showers and periods of partial clearing through Tuesday, lows near 40 degrees, the highs in the low 50s. Chance of measurable rainfall 90% through tomorrow. Presently 50 degrees downtown Portland. This is George Good, KOIN News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of unbridled imagination. You know, man is a curious creature. Most of us settle for routine and habit. 8 hours on the job, another 7 or 8 in bed, and the other 8 on some hobby that is neither too physically demanding nor asks for too many mental gymnastics. Few of us stretch ourselves beyond a reasonable limit. We coast through life. Our mettle never really tried. But some of us, through harrowing experience, are stretched to the full capacity of our beings. It's then we find out what fiber we are made of.
Dave! Dave! Help me!
Eve! What is it? Where is she?
Help me! It's got me!
Heaven break, can't you wish? Eve, pulling me under. We gotta get her. Eve, what is it? The thing. Pulling me under. Where is she? Eve, where is she? Where is she? Where is she? She's gone. Where? You dragged her under the arch there. Did you see anything? No, but you heard Eve. It's true. There is a thing that lives in these caves. And we're trapped. Trapped here. At his mercy.
Our mystery drama, The Thing in the Cave, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Terry Keane and Marion Seldes. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I
saw this perfectly dwelling mirror in the showroom, so I bought it. But when the truck came, they delivered this thing I never saw before. Now what am I going to do?
Tell you what to do, madam.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, the first thing to do is to call the store manager and tell him what happened. But in the future, when your merchandise is delivered, you should examine the item before the delivery truck leaves. And if it's to be delivered from a warehouse, have a clear understanding with the dealer that unless it is the same as the sample shown to you, you will not accept it or pay for it.
Oh, thank you.
Just part of my job, madam, to help people with their shopping problems.
Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as anything strange and inexplicable, a puzzle. There's no mystery why more and more people are choosing to shop at Jansen Beach Center. 60 stores and services to choose from. A pleasant atmosphere with comfort-controlled enclosed malls. Friendly service, and plenty of free parking. Don't puzzle about where to shop. Visit Jansen Beach Center soon. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
I shot an arrow into the air. It fell not down, it stuck up there. Should I climb up? How I debated, and end up quite asphyxiated? Or shall I wait for a clearer day? Or will it ever clear away?
It's getting thicker, isn't it? You can act now to fight air pollution through your Respiratory Disease Association. It's a matter of life and breath.
I don't suppose many of us ever plan to grow up to be speleologists, since most of us are subject to claustrophobia, to at least some degree. For the very few of you who don't recognize the Latin terms, let me add that a speleologist, of course, is someone who studies and explores caves. And claustrophobia is that suffocating, pervasive dread of being shut in. This tale concerns itself with four young spelunkers. Those are cave explorers who do it only for fun. And their gruesome experience of being cave-bound. Literally buried alive.
It's just around the next bend in the trailhead.
It's funny being born and bred in these mountains, and yet I've never been inside Chalk Door Cave.
Well, I'm not sure I want to myself.
You get claustrophobia too, Barbara.
David, I never even dare close the door in a phone booth. Darling...
Yes, Eve?
We can forget all this, you know. I don't have to have my childhood revisited.
No, thanks. Right on. If I refused you this little memory trip, I'd hear about it for the rest of our marriage. If you ever decide to go through with a wedding.
Oh, just you try to leave me at the altar, David Towers. Well, here we are.
Are we here?
Yes, sir, General Custer. Cavalry dismount.
Oh, I don't see any cave.
It's right behind that scrub oak there.
Listen, what do we do about the horses?
No, here. I'll hitch us all to the aspen here. My old Baldy, all I got to do is let the reins trail. He won't budge more than 20 feet till I get back. Hey, you know, it's kind of clouding up over in the northwest. Maybe we ought to be getting back down the mountain.
Ah, come on, give Eve her kicks.
What's this? Oh, just my old faithful knapsack with some of the remains of lunch. And a flashlight. Meet an old Boy Scout. Be prepared. I brought a water bottle, too.
Hey, come to think of it, if Eve wants to get up to the ledge, which she says goes to the back cavern, we ought to bring along a rope.
Fetch my lariat, too, while you're at it.
Will do.
Where are you fellows? Come on. Bob and I have found the entrance to the cave.
Kid. Barbara and I can make it all right. Crawling, but Hank comes in the giant size.
Hank, can you make it?
It's just about as tight as a cork in a bottle.
If I get stuck, you can be sorry if this is the only way in and out.
With just a moment, we can all stand up. You'll see.
Maybe we should all forget it.
You scared?
No, but I'm not exactly happy either. I don't know if Hank can...
We're here. In the cave. I can stand up. Oh, come on, everyone. It's just beautiful. It's just as I remembered it.
You're right, Eve. It's breathtaking. Like a cathedral buried at the bottom of the sea.
Oh, hey. All green like Saint-Chapelle in Paris.
Saint-How in Paris?
Oh, it's a marvelous chapel near Notre Dame with all stained glass windows that make you feel as if you're scuba diving and looking at it through water.
Hey, I could hear water, too. Somewhere.
Come on. I'll show you where. Listen, look out for the, what do you call them?
Stalactites, if they hang from the roof.
And the ones from the floor are stalagmites, right?
What makes them, Professor?
My degree's in English, Hank. Water dripping, calcium in the rock, something like that. They build up or down, drop by drop over the centuries.
Here it is. Here's the waterfall.
How about that?
Oh, that's beautiful.
But where did the pool drain?
Well, nobody knows. But some say it's bottomless and it goes right through the earth.
Well, where does the river that makes the waterfall come from? Up there?
Well, the kids I used to know climbed up to the ledge there and then went in through the cleft. They say it comes from another chamber behind this. Where it comes from before that, I guess nobody knows.
What's that?
Maybe it's him. I know, I'm crazy. Oh, but it's such fun to remember how we kids used to come here together and talk about the thing.
The thing? What was the thing?
Oh, it was just something we made up. Some country legend. Someone had heard about this creature, this monster that lived in this underground river, whatever it is.
What kind of monster?
Well, you know, slimy and slippery and all the... with one great red-rimmed eye and long, snaky tentacles that crept and crawled along the rock until suddenly they bounced.
What was that?
Sounded like thunder. I bet that storm broke outside. Come on. We better get going.
Oh, just wanted to get into the cave behind us where we are. Just once again.
Oh, no, count me out. This place is giving me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, I'm getting a little tight in the throat myself. Come on, darling.
You're right, David. I must have been a little crazy. I don't know what it was, but something seemed to draw me here. Almost as if it was something calling.
Come on, Eve. Run!
Yes! Eve! Eve, come on!
Come on, it sounds like the whole mountain's caving in.
No!
Hang in there, Eve. Now, we mustn't lose our heads.
It's so dark. So pitch dark. What happened to Hank and David?
They're going to see about clearing the entrance.
If we only had some light.
The boys had the only flashlight. Wait a minute.
What is it?
No, cool it. Cool it, Eve. Just Hank and Dave coming back with the light.
Oh, any luck?
You both all right?
We'll make it.
How's Eve?
Oh, I'm okay, David. Can we go now?
Well, it isn't going to be that easy.
Well, can't we help to clear?
Eve, Barbara, I don't know. The landslide we heard, it may have covered over the cave entrance outside.
You mean that even if people came looking for us, they might not be able to find the entrance to the cave?
But that's why we have to start clearing out from inside here.
Eve.
Well, what is it? I mean, at least we know where the way out is. We can crawl back through the tunnel, and then we'll...
We don't know where the way out is anymore.
What do you mean?
The whole area where we passed along the stalactites and the stalagmites has collapsed. Even if we could guess where the tunnel going out began, the rocks blocking it are so large, it would take a bulldozer to move them.
Oh, good Lord. Then we're trapped.
You're sealed in like a tomb. And it's all my fault. Oh, darling. It's all my fault.
Come on, darling. Baby.
Eve, stop it. Stop it.
Take it easy, Barbara.
Now, Eve, come on. You've got to get a hold of yourself.
Oh, I'll be all right.
Sure you will. Hank, have you any ideas what we can do?
Well, I guess the first thing to do is not to panic. Now, we've got water. I've got some chocolate bars and a couple of sandwiches left over from lunch in my saddlebag. We've got light, as long as the batteries last. Which reminds me...
Do we have to be in the dark?
There's no sense in using up the batteries when we don't need it.
David.
Right here, Eve.
Hank, what are our chances of being found?
Oh, it's hard to answer, Barbara. Of course, they'll miss us back at the ranch by tonight.
Oh, we didn't say where we were going.
But when they find the horses hitched right outside...
That's always supposing they weren't buried in the landslide. Is there any other way out of the cave you know of, Eve?
No, not really. Like I told you, some kids got up on the ledge at the top of the waterfall, and they went into some kind of a chamber behind there. But they claimed that...
That what?
Eve, please, we've all got to keep our heads. Well, it's just that the thing came rising out of the water, hissing and snarling, so they just took up and ran.
Well, I don't guess four of us grown-ups, as long as we stick together, are going to dream up any boogeyman out of the shadows. I've got to turn the light on for a minute. 4:20.
They won't miss us till dinner time. By the time they started any kind of search, it'll be dark.
Yeah, and with the thunderstorm and the Pecota River running high as it does at the ford, they may figure we hold up at Halfway House.
That's this side of the river?
Yes, and there's no phone, right, Hank?
That's right. Look, it's only about 20 feet up to that ledge.
It'd be easy to climb.
Dave and me could go in through that cleft and have a look around. Maybe there's a way out that way. You girls wait here.
Oh, no way. I'm not sitting around in the dark.
We'll all go, Hank.
Well, okay. You climb first, then. David, right behind you. Then Barb, and I'll come up last. Let's go. Bingo. We're in the second cavern.
How big is it?
This must be where the waterfall comes from.
Is there any way out?
So hold it, everyone. Hold it. Let's see. Let's start to the left here.
The walls are so smooth, like they've been polished.
Once upon a time, I guess the whole floor was underwater. Shine the light higher, Hank, so we can...
Let's see. If there were any clefts or passageways at ground level first.
But it's so small. You're over halfway around and nothing.
Maybe where the water comes in?
We'll be there in a minute. No?
Try along the right-hand wall.
The water runs along against it.
And back through a hole in the floor down to where we came from.
Shine the light back again where the water comes in.
Why? The batteries are getting dim.
Thought I saw something.
Wait a minute. You may be right. The water doesn't come quite to the top of the archway.
It isn't that. It's something else. It's calling me. The thing.
Eve, wait a minute. Wait.
Oh, Hank. Oh. Are you all right?
Damn, I turned my ankle. Dave, the flashlight.
I know. I'm looking for it.
David! Help me!
What is it? Where are you?
Something quick. Stop me.
Where's the damn light?
I have it, Mike.
Pulling me under. Eve. What is it? What is it?
Where's Eve?
Dave.
Oh, he dragged her under the arch there.
Oh, God, no. Oh.
I can't swim.
I can't look out. Hold the light steady. Toward the arch. I'm going after her.
Did you see anything?
No. The water's only a couple of inches under the roof. Hank's gone.
The thing. It's the thing again. And he's coming back for all of us.
From ghoulies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties and things that go bump in the night, good Lord deliver us. The quote is from an old friend, Anon. Or, to give him his full name, Anonymous. But will he deliver our four young spelunkers, or any of them, from this thing that haunts the cave? I'll return in a moment with Act Two.
When you drink beer, do you tilt the glass for long, hearty swallows? Or just tip it and sip it? Well, sipping's the thing for wine. But Budweiser beer is a hearty drink, brewed for zest and character. The best way to enjoy Bud is to drink it. Not chug a lug, just man-sized beer drinker swallows. That's when that famous Budweiser taste, smoothness, and drinkability really come through. Smoothness and drinkability that come only from natural carbonation and exclusive beechwood aging. Smoothness and drinkability, too good for any half-hearted sipping. So drink up. You'll see that brewing beer right does make a difference. And that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
From the moment that a child becomes aware of himself as a thinking being, he begins the difficult task of learning to communicate. For a while, gestures coupled with sounds are all he has. Then, gradually, he starts to assimilate the language he hears. And finally, the breakthrough and the miracle of human speech is his. As difficult as that process is for a child born without handicaps, imagine what it's like for one with cerebral palsy. In addition to the brain damage, which may make it difficult to walk or even use his hands, very often his speech center may have been affected as well. Although speech therapy may help, guttural sounds and slurred consonants may be the best he can muster in his effort to communicate. Imagine that same child years later. For children with cerebral palsy do grow up, and they need you then as much as ever to be understood, to find jobs, to enjoy life. Think about that when you are asked to give to United Cerebral Palsy.
There's a creepy, crawly feeling about the very thought of being shut in anywhere, without doors or windows. Confinement of any kind is as foreign to the human animal as it is to his fellow beasts. And as for caves, I know I wouldn't be found dead in one. Oh, I hope that figure of speech isn't a prophetic one for one of our four young friends who are cave-bound.
What was that?
Column of water. I don't know.
But didn't you see something inside it with great arms reaching out like a tree?
It was just a geyser, a water spout, some freak of nature.
Eve said there was a thing.
Oh, what does it matter? Eve's gone. She's dead, drowned. And it's my fault. And Hank hasn't come back either.
David, you can't help it if you can't swim.
Hasn't helped Hank that he could. He's disappeared. She was my girl. If anyone had to die with her, it should have been me.
Maybe they've gotten to another cave. If they hadn't, their bodies would have come up to the surface.
Look at that vortex there, Barbara. Where the spout or whatever it is came from. Just before the archway.
It spins like a whirlpool. It could have sucked them both down to the bowels of the earth. Oh, David, what are we going to do?
I don't care anymore.
Well, I do. Give me that flashlight. Getting dimmer. Maybe there's a hole or passage higher up that might... What's that?
Back. The lights to them. Put it out.
No, I can't. I can't. I don't want to be in the dark with them.
We'll have them all over us.
Ah! One brushed against me. Please, please, help me. Please.
Take it easy, Eve. You're all right. Yeah. You'll be all right.
And the thing. The thing pulled me under the water.
You're out of the water now.
Where?
I don't know. Dry land, anyway.
Hank, yes. How did you get here?
I went into the water.
Try to save me?
Oh, it's an Eagle Scout. You know, trustworthy, loyal, helpful.
What about David?
He can't swim.
Oh, but what did you... How did you...
I don't think I could explain.
What do you mean?
It just doesn't make sense. The stream was flowing out of the arch. So I was swimming against it, but suddenly, something just pulled me along against the current. What about you?
Oh, don't you see? It was him. The thing.
Oh, if it was, why did he save you and me? You thought it wanted to drown you.
Yes, I did at first, but then it seemed so kind. So kind, as if it wanted to help. But Barbara and David, we've got to get back.
Take it easy. Too tired.
Oh, yes. Some light so we can...
Nothing but matches. Soaking wet. Maybe dry out. Can't even see the time.
David?
Yes, Barbara?
Would the light disturb the bats again? They make my flesh crawl, but anything's better than the dark.
Well, it must be night outside by now. I have a hunch they've taken off to the outside cavern.
Well, are they in for a surprise when they find there's no exit anymore?
Maybe they know of one out of here. Let's try. So far, so good.
Getting so dim.
Isn't all that high. Let's see.
Well?
Can you see anything?
No. It's like the inside of an egg. Oh, David, what are we going to do?
Get back. Get back near the arch. The rock's flat. Maybe if the water goes down or something, we can figure a way. Battery's gone.
Oh, no. No, there's got to be light. David, I can't take it.
Barbara.
I'm joking.
Barbara.
I'm joking.
Hold it. Wait a minute.
Oh, thank God. Some light.
It's only a lighter. It won't last long. Now, we've got to save it. Sit down.
Just don't turn it off.
I have to. Just keep thinking it's there if it's needed.
It's there if it's needed. Oh, David, hold me. Please.
Okay, okay.
Oh, Hank, I got you, all of you, into this.
But Eve, that won't help. What we need to do is move around and try to get warm. Oh, at least we're dry. Yeah. Try those matches again. Oh, no, no good. Well, if only we could see to...
What is it?
Look up, Eve. What? Way, way up there. What do you see?
It's a shaft of light.
Sunlight. That's coming from outside. It means there's a way out.
But it's so high up. It's so little.
With any luck, as the sun rises, it'll give us more light. Then we can explore.
How far up to where that light's coming in?
Oh, must be a good 60 feet. Hard to tell in this light.
Could we climb up there?
Oh, Lord, no.
We've got to think about Bob and David first, anyway.
Oh, I've been thinking about that. Trouble is, I was groggy when I fetched ashore here. I've no idea how long the underwater swim is.
But with the current going with you...
Well, there's a good chance I could make it through, but making it back's another problem.
Especially since David doesn't swim. We can't count on Mr. Thing to be around to help us out again.
But here, we have a chance. And there, they don't. There's got to be some way.
I've got a notion. Eve, you got anything to write with?
No, I haven't got a pocketbook, any kind of pen. Wait a minute. Pocket of my jeans. Lipstick, any good?
Famous. Now look, I'm going to take my canteen and empty it. Now, the one sure thing we have is plenty of water. You think we could write a message with lipstick on that?
No, not so good on that canvas cover. But if we just strip it, we could write on the metal.
You don't think water would wash it off?
I don't suppose you've done much dishwashing.
Well, even a bachelor does his share.
Well, then you know how tough it is to get lipstick off a glass.
I sure do.
But how do we get this message?
Look, with the stopper in this canteen, it won't sink. Now, I'm going to tie it to the end of the rope and let it float on down far as I can.
Supposing the rope isn't long enough.
Oh, there's 30 to 35 feet of rope here. It better be long enough. Now, let's put our heads together and figure how much of a message we can get on this canteen.
David?
Yes, boss?
Is it me? Or is it getting hard to breathe in here?
It's all in the mind.
You know, it's funny.
What?
I used to be kind of jealous of all the big brains. Me, I was just, fun and games and the action girl. No ties, strictly let it all hang out loose. I wish I had the chance to find just one fellow. Oh, David.
What, Barbie?
You're not kidding me. The air's getting heavier and heavier. Please, can't we have a little light?
There's not much light if you...
What is it?
There's something floating in the stream.
Here, hold this up for me.
Can you reach it?
Yeah, I have it.
What is it?
It's a canteen. It's tied to a rope. Looks like Hank's canteen. The water bottle he brought in without the cover.
Hold it closer. Oh, look. There's writing on it. Oh, God, I'm blind without my glasses. It's in lipstick. That means Eve. Here, can you read it?
Hold the flame steady.
Okay.
Eve, Hank. Safe, hug, rope 3 times if found. Way out. If writing materials reply, send... All in flask.
How much do you measure?
About 20 feet.
And how far can
Wait.
You...
Wait. 1, 2, 3. They've got it. Now all we have to do is wait for one tug, and we can bring back the message.
There's so much more we should have told them.
Not the time. The lighter's almost out of fluid. Thank God my watch has an illuminated dial. If we miss their return instructions, well, we can't, that's all. Hold the lighter. I've got to be sure this bottle's tightly capped. Okay. Here goes. One tug and the Geronimo. Give a light.
Oh, if I ever get out of here, I'll write for special dispensation during the energy crisis. I never want to spend another moment in the dark again.
What does it say?
We could use a better reading light.
What's it written on?
Pencil on a handkerchief. Dearest Eve Hank, light only for one more message from you. Air supply failing. Trapped here. Give instructions. Expect answer 5 minutes. Pencil enclosed. Can you imagine? The 20th century, a little less than 20 feet away, and we communicate like the Stone Age.
Never mind. At least we communicate. Let's just get them here so we can communicate face to face.
It's silly, Dave. You know you can't swim. If anything goes wrong and you panic, I'll at least be here.
And if I leave you here in the dark, alone?
Now,
look, let me slip the rope around your shoulders like Hank instructed.
I know how to handle a sling like this. Will you remember?
Yes. Go on. Get in and tug. Let's get out of here before my lighter gives out.
It's nothing. I could have swum it alone. I didn't hold my breath more than half a minute.
Oh, Bobby, it's so good to see you again.
Let's get that sling off and float it back on the bottom of David.
Yes. Hurry, hurry.
You think you'll be able to manage?
Oh, sure, a cinch. Oh, here you are, Hank.
Oh, I just hope your boyfriend isn't jealous.
You mean the thing?
No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. It should be right on the mark now.
What's the matter? Haven't he tugged yet?
Give him a chance.
I hope the lighter hasn't run out of fuel.
But if he can't see, then how can he get...
Watch it. There's the tug. Come on.
Let's all pull fast.
Should have come as easy as that.
Something's wrong. He's lost the rope.
He's lost the rope, all right. But it's something worse than that. Get back, everybody! Get back!
Once again, some malign influence interferes in the tantalizing possibility of escape for the four young people whose mettle has already been tested unbearably. And for the lovers, the tables are bitterly turned. It seems that it is Eve's turn to mourn David. We'll return shortly with Act 3.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K presents
Overweight on an Overnight Train.
Is this seat taken?
Please, sit down.
Thanks.
You have exceptional legs.
Oh.
But why is one of them attached to a ball and chain?
This ball and chain? It's a symbol.
Funny, I would have sworn it was a ball and chain.
I mean symbolic. Because carrying around a few extra pounds can be just like lugging around this ball and chain.
I see. May I suggest something?
Uh-huh.
Try a bowl of Special K skim milk, orange juice, and coffee. It's the Special K breakfast.
Will it make me lose weight?
No.
Oh.
You must also exercise and eat smart at every meal.
I see.
Do you know the Special K breakfast is less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious?
No, but if you hum a few bars...
And that's another tale of the ball and chain.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K. Good night.
You're 17. Well, that's plenty old. Old enough to know about things like grass and speed and acid and smack. We probably can't tell you anything about the stuff you haven't already heard. Or maybe even found out for yourself. So, we don't intend to give you any advice. You wouldn't listen. But the trouble is, neither will your kid brother. He doesn't know half of what you know. He doesn't know how dope can affect your body. He's never spent a violent night hugging a friend who is on a bad trip or watch a guy nod off in class and fall to the floor. He's just a kid. And a real setup for anybody out there selling the stuff. We'd like to warn your little brother. Too bad he doesn't trust us. We can't get to him. But maybe you can.
An Advertising Council campaign.
Instead of David appearing from the tunnel, secure on the rope, there is an empty sling tied to the canteen for a float. And behind it, a boiling spout of frothing water spewing from the narrow opening of the channel like a huge fire hose, reversing the normal current till the opposing forces drive a seething lake over the floor of the cavern.
Hank, what happened?
I don't know.
It's that thing David and I fought after you went in to save Eve. David said it was some sort of a water spout, a geyser.
Look!
What?
Floating in! David, help me!
easy. Eve, let me get him.
Don't let him go.
It's all right. The water's washing him ashore.
Is he?
He swallowed a lot of water.
Let an RN and a lifeguard handle this one. Get him on his back, Hank.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, help me pull his jaw forward.
Okay.
What's that for? Free his tongue so he doesn't strangle. Okay, now let's get the water out of his stomach. And then we'll start mouth to mouth.
But what happened, David?
Lighter gave out, so I had to lie there in the dark, feeling with my hands for the bottle to come through. Suddenly, I felt it, but it slipped out of my hands, and I fell in the water, grabbing at the rope.
That must have been the tug I felt.
I don't know. I lost the rope, and I was floundering when suddenly the water began to literally boil all around me.
The water spout?
Yeah. It lifted me half out of the water and flung me against the arch. I guess it knocked me out.
You've got quite a bruise on your forehead.
It's what happened to us, Eve.
What do you mean?
There's some fault right below there. And every often, you know, enough cold water hits the molten lava way down. And, well, you're the professor, Dave. What happens?
I don't know. I suppose it forms a steam explosion that blows a whole column of water back up into the small cavern in part of the tunnel. It creates, sort of a whirlpool that's momentarily strong enough to hit the normal current like a riptide and drive it back. Best I can do.
I can do better than that. It's the thing that wants to help us. It saved three of our lives already.
I owe at least part of my thanks to Barbara.
And me to Hank.
And if it hadn't been for David, I'd have ended up a raving maniac in the dark.
I guess we all have turned up a little short, one way or another. Except Hank.
I'll say one thing. There's only one best man in the group.
Only at your wedding, mister. Because, well, Hank is about to exhibit his private white feather.
What do you mean, Hank?
Well, if we're going forward, there are only two ways to go. Eve and I have looked at the other end of the river here where it comes in, and there's no way out there.
How about the cleft up there where the light comes from?
Well, looks to be the best bet, only, Davy, old man, that's 60 or 70 feet up there. And I want to tell you, heights turn my belly to water. Even that first 20-foot climb we made, I'd like to die. I didn't dare look down after we got there. So what do we do now?
We climb. Just let me look it over. Now, shouldn't be too tough.
Are you sure you're up to this, darling?
Eva, I may be an egghead, no muscle boy, and I can't swim. But one thing I do know how to do is climb mountains. This one's my baby. Now, just let me go over a few points once again. I lead, Eve follows, Barb, and then Hank.
Oh, what if I fall?
You're on a sling. The rest of us can hold you, and if you don't lose your head, try to relax. And as you swing back to the wall, grab hold again. But you're not going to fall.
Yeah, but
it isn't a tough climb. The main thing is, don't look down.
All right.
Just keep your eyes up. And each one follow whatever toe holds or hand holds the one before is used. I'll test each one of them first. Most of the climb we can follow ledges. If they feel now, face the wall and move sideways. Don't look down. And no hurry. Don't anyone try to play hero. If you're tired, let me know and we'll rest, okay?
I'm not worried, darling. I trust you, Dave.
Well, if we don't get started, I may never move.
Here we go. Well, we're halfway up now. Anyone want to take a rest?
No. I'm all right. Let's just keep going.
I'm afraid to stop.
Next part's going to be a little tougher. Hang in and keep your eyes up.
James!
Hold on, anyone. What is it, Hank?
Dave, I can't! I can't! My knees! It's so far down!
Hank, damn it! Look, I've hurt me! Now, that's better. Now, you listen.
We only have about 15 more feet to go. There's a nice wide ledge we can settle on while I explore the cleft we're heading for. If you lose your head, you can take all of us with you.
Just cut me loose and let me...
Don't be a fool, Hank. We're a few feet from getting back in the world. Come on, don't let us all down.
All right, I'll try.
Easy does it, Hank. Just hook your weight forward over the ledge.
I can't. I'm stuck.
Now, when I pull, get your knee up.
There.
All right. Now slide yourself back against the rock. There, that's it.
I'm gonna get out of this. I'm moving to Kansas, where it's as flat as a pancake. What are you doing?
I'm tying the rope. I need it.
It was all for nothing, wasn't it, darling?
What do you mean?
That place where the light's coming from is behind that big rock in the ceiling. We can't climb up there. It would take a fly.
I can get there, darling.
How?
I just need some knots in this one lariat. Then you see that spur that sticks out? I toss the noose of the lariat over that. And then I can shinny up the rope and over on top of the rock.
But you'd swing like a pendulum.
If I took off from here without any break. But I'll tie the other rope to this one for a trip line. And the rest of you can let me swing over slowly and steady me as I climb.
But how do we get across there to join you?
See that other spur higher up between us and the rock I'm going for?
Yes.
After I get across, I'll sling a line over that and secure at my end. You can all swing across.
Oh.
Like we used to do when we were kids and played Tarzan. It's only about 10 feet.
I don't think I could do it.
You've got to, darling. It's the only chance we have left.
Oh. Thank heaven. I never thought he'd make it. Did you find the rift?
Yes.
Does it lead outside?
Eventually. It's a sort of long chimney.
Could we climb it?
Yes, if we were gremlins. It's wide enough all right one way, but the other is not over 6 or 7 inches. None of us could get through.
Oh, no.
Well, that blows it.
But what can we do, David?
There's nothing to do except climb down again.
Not me.
I haven't the guts.
I don't think I have the strength. You have a mutiny on your hands, Captain. I couldn't make that climb down again either.
Okay. We'll do what I told you before. Swing all of you over here. There's plenty of room for all of us.
I got you, Eve. Back on good old terra firma.
Just like riding down an elevator.
Oh,
thanks, Hank.
So we all got down easy. How does David?
He's got away. He sort of takes a hitch around himself and he lowers himself down. But here he comes.
Oh, man, that's some kind of guy you're marrying.
Everybody all right?
We are.
A few rope burns, that's all. Sorry I put you through all that for nothing.
I wasn't much help. But it was worth a last chance.
You have to harp on it. I'm not giving up yet.
What else is there to try, darling?
Faith. Trust in God. I don't think he'd have put us through all this much and not plan to save us.
He certainly tried to see what we were made of.
Yes, and look at us. We all came through, and none of us is whimpering anymore, thinking of himself. I still think there's something there. Maybe not a childhood picture of a thing. Oh, good Lord.
What is coming out of that other tunnel? It's hard to see in this murky light.
But it's the thing. I knew all along he didn't mean us harm. It's the thing.
I reckon our muster's thrown quite a scare into you folks. Jim Trimble here, Deep Sea Diving and Ocean Bed Recovery Incorporated, ex-frogman in the Navy. You got a mess of folks mighty worried about you on the outside. They're going to be some relief once my boys bring in scuba tanks and gear to get you to the outside there. Just, let me give them the go-ahead. Hello, Grace 2. This is Jim. All four missing persons alive and well. Proceed with plan as outlined.
But how did you find us?
Well, sir, my daddy was quite a diver in his day. Free diving, that was. Not with gear like today. And he always had a notion there was a back way into Choctaw Cave through the underground river. And he found it one day off Choctaw Lake here. And I was about 16, and well, he went down, and he never came back.
I wonder if he ever made it to the cave.
Oh, no doubt about that, ma'am. After I got out of the Navy, I went down myself with scuba gear and a motor outfit just like now. And I found my daddy, or his skeleton. I figure he got down just holding his breath, but trying to make it up again at that angle, the current was just too strong. And after it got him, it brought him back to rest here, you know. I brung him out and buried him proper.
I'm sorry, Jim.
No need. He died doing what he wanted to do.
But how did you find us?
Well, Hank's old horse, Baldy, was smart enough to outstep that landslide, and when he turned up downhill, folks got alerted, but there wasn't a hope of digging you out, and they sent for me, and I got flown in from San Diego, and that's how I come to scare you into thinking I was that old legend I guess my father started. But the thing...
It isn't a legend, Jim. Your father never really died. He was the one that saved us.
Deep in the Choctaw Caves, the fountains of hot water still spout. The vortexes swirl. The long double lariat still hangs swinging from that high spur. But no living creature will ever enter them again. For even the bats are gone, smothered in the first two caverns where air forever was shut off. Perhaps all that is left is one thing, with a small t now. For it has become the pleasant ghost of a simple, kindly man. I'll be back shortly.
You know, you hack it through life. And you struggle to get a lot of things. But the one thing you really want is for someone to say, hey, you did a good job. Or to really care how you feel. Maybe even look up to you. Ain't it funny? Those little things. And so you fake it a lot. And you pretend you're a winner. You pretend you're something special and that you're worth loving. But it don't work. And that everyday kind of love, it didn't happen. So I just got tired of faking it. Trying to be somebody else. And I can remember saying, look, I'm sorry, but I don't know everything. I can't do everything. And I make mistakes. And you know what? That's when they started to say they love me. Ain't that funny?
From the Franciscans, with love.
So, for this time, a happy ending. And let's write the epitaph to this tale of suspense in Milton's words. Hence, loathed melancholy, of cerebrus and blackest midnight born, in Stygian cave forlorn. For myself, I equate cave with the Latin word spelled the same way, C-A-V-E, but pronounced cave. It means beware. Our cast included Marion Seldes, Terry Keane, Michael Wager, Bob Caliban. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Then you don't believe in the presence of Satan.
No, I don't. All I know is what that kind of talk leads to.
Oh, the brick, you mean. I'm sorry about that.
Well, yes, you should be. You've got these farmers half insane with your superstitious prattle.
Some say that about religion.
I wonder why. All right, let's not get sidetracked, Reverend Stokes. I don't want a theological debate. I want you to tell your congregation the truth.
And what is that, Dr. Stump?
That my son Mike raises frogs for his lab experiment.
Shall I tell them to believe in coincidence that a peaceful town is ripped apart every time your son returns? That cattle die for no reason at all? That we are suffering epidemics and the worst drought in our history, all because of coincidence?
Yes, yes, you tell them that. This is the 20th century. What else could it be?
Ask your son, Dr. Stamper. Ask him if he's just doing lab experiments.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams. This is KOIN in Portland. The time is 11 o'clock.
CBS News. A lone hijacker is holding a Japan airline jumbo jet with 426 people on board at the airport in Okinawa, and he has demanded that the plane refuel. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. News of the hijacking was received by the airline at the Tokyo International Airport. And Bruce Dunning has a report from there.
Reports to Tokyo say that the Japan Airlines jumbo jet with 409 passengers and 17 crew members was taken over by a single man as it was making its final approach to Naha Airport on the southern Japanese island of Okinawa. The young man, described as a student type, did not say why he was taking over the plane. He merely ordered the pilot to land, to keep the passengers on the plane, and to refuel. This particular plane is used only on domestic flights and presumably is not equipped for long-distance travel. Bruce Dunning, CBS News at Tokyo International Airport.
More news in a minute.
Hello, world. Denny Bracken here, along with old ton of fun, Mike Roy. We got a few words about the cooking thing on the CBS Radio Network tomorrow. I just got simmering in the skillet there, Michael.
I remember they used to call me Radio's Happy Little Multitude. Anyway, we have a classic French dish done in the housewifely way.
Oh?
It's called chicken vol-au-vent, which means it's in a pastry wrapper. It's got sausage and all the goodies, and it's quite elegant for a number of guests.
Bring you soup and fish tomorrow for Mike Roy's Cook Thing right here on the CBS Radio Net.
Drug abuse didn't just happen. The key to destroying drug abuse is getting help from citizens who care enough to get heroin pushers off the streets. If you know the name, address, or description of a pusher, use the heroin hotline. It's toll-free. The number is 800-368-5363. You don't have to give your name, just the important information you have. So do your part to get rid of drug abuse. Call 800-368-5363.
The New York Times reports that President Nixon suggested in 1969 that members of his staff be given access to tax returns of former presidents. The purpose, reportedly, was to learn what tax deductions those presidents had taken. The Times says that it got its information from an internal White House memo
written by John Ehrlichman, former domestic affairs advisor for the president. The Times says it obtained a copy of that memo, which is now in the hands of a joint congressional committee studying Mr. Nixon's tax returns for the years 1969 through 1972. According to the Times, Gerald Warren, deputy White House press secretary, says that he knows Mr. Nixon did not review tax returns of former presidents, but Warren says he doesn't know if Ehrlichman ever saw those returns. Ehrlichman has told the Times he never heard the subject of tax returns brought up and that he would have to research the matter before he could comment. The president has returned to Washington after a weekend at Key Biscayne. On board the presidential flight, one of Mr. Nixon's top aides, Bryce Harlow, said that Congressman Wilbur Mills was ascribing guilt by innuendo in a comment that he made last week. Mills said that a congressional report to be issued in a month on the president's income taxes would add pressure for Mr. Nixon to resign. Harlow told reporters that Mills was engaging in the old game of guilt by innuendo, similar to tactics of the late Senator Joseph McCarthy, and that Mills should, in Harlow's words, put up or shut up in his predictions. A House subcommittee has been conducting hearings on the possibility of granting amnesty for Vietnam War draft evaders. Republican Senator Robert Taft called for legislation to create a board to consider amnesty for evaders on a case-by-case basis. Former Army Secretary Robert Froehlich also favors some kind of conditional amnesty. And Peg Mullen, a Gold Star mother from Iowa, agrees that amnesty is necessary.
The war in Vietnam, which took our son, was a senseless, terrible, tragic blunder. And now we see that you want to compound this mistake by punishing further those young men who refused to be deluded by your war from the beginning. Gentlemen, the whole Vietnam War was a misadventure. We are all its non-battle casualties.
A Gold Star mother testifying on amnesty for Vietnam draft evaders. Back in a minute.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
Negotiations continue tonight in San Francisco between union representatives and city officials to try to end a strike by municipal workers, now entering its sixth day. This is Ann Crosman, CBS News.